Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is the story of how one small island conquered the world.
Jamaican patois.
And a fair start. Asafa Powell. Usain Bolt is also out well. Here they come down the track. Usain Bolt!
It's a story of music, sport, and style. How its rhythms, athletes, and language went global.
Pull up, pull up!
This is how Jamaica conquered the world.
My name is Wayne Marshall. I'm a musicologist from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
My name is Marlon Bishop. I'm a journalist and radio producer with Afropop Worldwide in New York City.
My name is Philip Sman. I am from Cuba. I do Afro-American and Caribbean music.
Down to Panama to do some research a couple of years ago, and was just blown away by the way in which the Jamaican migration to Panama completely changed the cultural panorama there.
Now, reggaeton is a fascinating story, and it has a lot of history to it. I mean, essentially, you kind of have to start in Panama, and you have to look at the numbers of Jamaicans and other West Indian migrants who moved there in the late 19th and early 20th century to work on the canal and other sort of large-scale building projects.
Panama is a country in Central America between Colombia and Costa Rica, and is famously the spot of the narrowest point between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, so they built the big canal there and ships go through it. And Panama, in order to build that canal, they required a lot of people. And there were various attempts to build this canal, which led to various migrations of people to build it, but the most successful one came from a U.S.-backed attempt, which began in the late 1800s and ended in the early 20th century, and that involved many, many laborers who came from Jamaica and other parts of the West Indies. You know, there were long-scale population exchanges in that region, but the canal became a big part of it. And to this day, a large percentage, I can't give an exact figure, but a large percentage of Panamanians are of Jamaican descent. Many of them have English last names. Some older people still speak English. Many do not. And, you know, based on the Caribbean city of Colón, you know, is a Jamaican city in Latin America. Who knows if they would continue to describe it as such. For years and years and years, artists in Panama have been taking Jamaican songs, you know, using the B-sides and redoing them in Spanish. And a whole, you know, there's a whole sound system culture that developed in Panama around the same time that it developed in Jamaica, and with a trade back and forth of records. And actually, this goes back even farther because there's a huge calypso tradition as well. You know, some of the most famous calypsonians were from the northern coast of Panama in the towns of Colón and the other mostly places of Jamaican parentage. And there's this famous story about the time that the famous calypso composer Mighty Sparrow went to Panama and lost a big calypso competition to local singers. And so you have calypso in Spanish as well, you know. You actually have a really interesting music scene in general because you have, you know, the huge American military influence, which brought all this old soul and doo-wop music, and you have all that stuff going on in Spanish. And you have some great salsa artists like Ruben Blades. And all of that's kind of mixing up in Panama. went to Panama a couple of years ago and to do research on reggae and speak to some reggae artists, and I was just really blown away by the big footprint of Jamaican culture in Panama. You hear it in the streets everywhere. The kids selling mixtapes, it's all full of reggae classics. Some way or another, through various modes of transmission, this music eventually made its way to Puerto Rico, where it would eventually become reggaeton. This kind of very, even though Puerto Rico and Jamaica are very close to each other in the Caribbean, the music had to take this really long path to eventually get to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, where does reggaeton come from? Well, that's a big debate, to be honest with you. You know, some people would say, well, of course it comes from Jamaica because reggae is the basis for it. Others would say, well, no, you know, we have to pay tribute to Panama because it was in Panama that, you know, some of these second, third, fourth generation Jamaican migrants really picked up reggae and started to first do it in Spanish. You know, and that's one of the big things that makes reggaeton what it is, in a sense, it's dancehall reggae in Spanish. Now, in the 1980s, when that first started to bubble up in Panama, generally they were calling it reggae en español, very simply put. The term reggaeton doesn't emerge until far later, more like the turn of the millennium.
One of the first things you notice in Panama is the soundtrack of being in Panama is entirely different than it is anywhere else in Latin America, for various reasons, but largely because of the influence of the Jamaican population. You don't hear reggaeton, really. You hear reggae en español, which is Spanish reggae. And what that is, you know, hard-hitting Jamaican dancehall beats, the exact rhythms that are popular in Jamaica at any given time, redone by Panamanian artists in Spanish for the domestic market. And you hear it everywhere. That is the music of Panama.
Let the rhythm take control of your mind, your body, and your soul. Let the rhythm take control of your mind, your body, and your soul. Bind your body 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 and your soul.
In the early 90s, a style developed in Puerto Rico that was called underground, and it was a mixture of rap and reggae being performed in these kind of long mixtape format. Two DJs, one named DJ Negro and another named DJ Playero, each would put out these mixtapes that were filled with long 30-minute cuts of dancehall and rap going back and forth, all performed in Spanish, with a bunch of artists coming in, chopping up these samples from hip-hop and reggae, and kind of just this great cultural mix-up that only the early 90s could have given. And famously, the sound that made it to this to these mixtapes more than anything else was the rhythm for Bam Bam, the Jamaican song by Chaka Demus and Flyers. And these three guitar chops from that track, chunk, 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 later became parts of Murder, She Wrote and numerous other popular songs in Jamaica, became the skeleton of underground and just lasted throughout all of the underground music. The way this transmission happened was through New York, and it was through Panamanian communities and Puerto Rican communities that lived side by side in New York. Here in New York, there's a significant Jamaican-Panamanian population that's actually located three blocks from where I'm sitting right now on Franklin Avenue, which is a kind of thoroughfare of the Jamaican-Panamanian community here in New York. The presence of that community meant the presence of Spanish language reggae in the 80s and 90s when this kind of transmission was happening. And specifically one star named El General, or the General, became really popular among Latinos in New York. And he was a Panamanian, had moved to New York.
Pues quiero que le digas a tu amigas que el rey del pum pum acaba de llegar y nadie lo puede parar. Soy llora porque llegó el general. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata.
In New York City, in fact, that you get Panamanians collaborating with Jamaicans and producing some of these really seminal reggae and Espanol records, records like El General's Muevelo and Te Ves Buena and Tu Pum Pum. And these were records produced on Long Island, of all places, actually in the studio of Philip Smart, a Jamaican emigre, who produced some of the biggest dancehall hits of the 1990s in his little studio on Long Island. And what you had were expatriates, you know, from Panama, from Jamaica, from all over Latin America and the Caribbean, coming together to very strategically try to make crossover records. In lots of cases, taking the contemporary dancehall hits of the day, something like, say, Shaba Ranks' Dembo, translating it almost directly into Spanish. So there's a few records that are made that end up doing very well with the Spanish-speaking community in New York, and then, of course, also travel back to the other homes of these people, whether that's Puerto Rico, Panama, Dominican Republic, Honduras, Cuba, and so forth.
Para que se acabe el comentario, dile, pa ponerla más que dura. Mi gente, ellos son mis hijos. Es la hora, dale, que ya es la hora. Vamos, nos fuimos.
In the years of 1990-something, in Cuba, people were listening international music. People were listening rock. People were listening Beatles. People were listening Michael Jackson. People were listening old school hip-hop, any kind of music. But reggae music was really like as popular. Could be, because when I was living in that area, in the east of Cuba, like it's more close to Jamaica, and we got more people, black, they was listening more reggae than the people from the west. The political system in Cuba, basically talking about reggae music, that was really difficult to find a place where you can go out to enjoy that kind of music. You have place to go and enjoy rock, heavy rock, but you not got place to go and enjoy, we not be disturbed by the police or by the government association or however. White, black, everybody like reggae. But the point is that it's not a place where you can go and freely be the whole night listening reggae music.
Dembo, 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 dembo. Banana tea, but me say that himbo. Gyal a clean right, but me say that chipo.
1987, when I write my first track together with David Perez Mesa, who lives in Miami now. It was in the high school. Hip hop on the ground, but not on the ground, old school. But we don't got beat, so we do big box. In the town, we was considering the pioneers. A popular artist that giving us the inspiration for the reggaeton for Cuban, the General. Since I was remember, a few other was doing rap in Spanish, you know, but the General from Panama, the Panamanian. He had Jamaican blood. He was the one, the really first one that we could.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
listen at him and understand what he says. So they're giving us a really huge inspiration about reggae. You can listen to reggae in English as you just follow the sound, but when you listen in your language, so you understand what is everything about, what they're talking to. So we just follow. I could say that the general is the one. He's the one.
So by the early 90s, you've got this sort of burgeoning reggae and Espanol scene in New York and every place that New York is plugged into.
Bocat? Yes, man. Voy a decirlo vulgarmente. Todos esos mamones que se echen para atrás y esas mamonas. Iris, dembow, 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 dembow.
Around this time is when we got the dembow. And the dembow nowadays refers to the rhythm of reggaeton, the drum beat, the same way you might have a merengue beat or a different varieties of salsa beats, you have the dembow beat. And it originally comes from a Chabarang song called Dembow, which was redone in Panama by a Panamanian artist named Nando Boom. And Nando Boom, he didn't use the same actual recorded beat, but he copied very closely the Chabarang beat, which is kind of different from other reggae beats. It has the reggae feel, but it has those bass notes on every downbeat. So you get this more sauntering, swaggering rhythm that defines reggaeton and kind of separates it from dancehall today. But that rhythm was originally the rhythm on a dancehall track. That beat was taken and sped up in the underground music and used for all the underground songs, and then eventually slowed back down and used in all of what became reggaeton in the late 90s and 2000s, which was the evolution of underground, where they stopped using the hip-hop beats and exclusively started using the dembow beats. And so dembow, literally the same sampled recording of dembow, became the sonic stamp of reggaeton. It became what defined reggaeton largely, along with other musical characteristics. But at the root, there was a dembow. And only more recently are we seeing reggaeton that does not include dembow. It also became the curse of those who didn't like reggaeton, of which there were many. Reggaeton was fantastically popular among Latinos and really just everybody once it kind of blew up overseas. But it also was really hated by people who those didn't like it because really overnight, all of a sudden, the only thing we heard was this dembow over and over again.
Clima produciendo.
Latino stations in New York immediately switched their entire programming strategies. They stopped playing salsa and merengue and bachata and all the things they played before and exclusively played reggaeton. It was this new radio format that was invented by the American music companies who eyed this explosion of this music hungrily, branding it as Hispanic, urban, or whatever it was. And the idea was this was going to be the hip-hop for Latinos. And to a large degree, it is.
In Puerto Rico, they decided to see dancehall reggae as a resource in the same way that the hip-hop producers there and in New York had been working with funk and so forth. So they started to chop up these rhythms and rearrange them and create their own new beats out of them. And likewise, the rap style, too, as much as it was indebted to dancehall reggae style, also, you know, was quite a hybrid, hip-hop being a heavy part of that mix, too. So you start to get young rappers like a young Daddy Yankee, Evie Queen, who very stylishly can navigate this hybrid sound and start to really produce something that sounds quite original in its way, despite how derivative it is. It really starts to sound like a Puerto Rican take on, you know, contemporary urban dance music, urban club music.
Listen. Si la chica no me concede su amor, yo sería por siempre.
And initially, this is a pretty small scene. You know, these guys, Playero and The Noise, they're making mixtapes, essentially, informally produced cassettes that would get passed around hand to hand. You know, there'd be an initial small run, but then they would really circulate quite amazingly in Puerto Rico and then in the diaspora. And so eventually the sound became a commercial one. By the late 90s, you start to get a real club scene, both in Puerto Rico and in New York, devoted to the sound, and commercial recordings take off for these artists. That's when the branding starts to happen, where they start to say, oh, this isn't reggae, this isn't hip-hop, you know, this is reggaeton. In a certain sense, it's a way of really carving out a market share. You know, right after the turn of the millennium or so, that there start to be openings, commercial openings in the United States, especially with interest from major labels, so that you start to get reggaeton finding its way into new spaces and so forth.
The band Triangolo Oscuro, success from 2001 to 2007, was quite fast, was unexpected, it was a dream. I find somebody that belonged to the record company Egrain, and he just asking us for a copy of our music. 1 week after, we was just signing a paper with the Cuban discographic in 2001. So in that year, we recorded with them our first album Amo Verse. In the same year, the album was signed by Sony for distribution. It was taking number one in the category of pop fusion.
Reggaeton emerged on the global stage somewhere around 2005 with the insane popularity of the Daddy Yankee song Gasolina. You may recognize it from Dame Mas Gasolina. You know the song. Everybody knew the song. Ricocheted around the world. It made it to number one in Italy. It made it to number one here and there. But it also ignited this phase in which reggaeton became the dominant, quote-unquote, urban music of Latin America and Latino populations in the U.S., and especially for a period of time, I would say from about 2005 to 2009, 2010. And it continues to be incredibly important throughout the Spanish-speaking world.
Cuba is another place where reggaeton is quite popular. Initially, it was seen more based on the eastern part of the island in Oriente, as opposed to Havana, which, you know, still had a very strong salsa, timba scene, and of course still does. But reggaeton has apparently made great inroads across Cuba, even displacing the well-established hip-hop scene in certain places, and yet doing so really as an underground phenomenon, you know, without access to, for the most part, without access to state resources, radio, media, that kind of thing, but really circulating through burned CDs and so forth. And, you know, where increasingly you also get, especially as it becomes more popular and commercially viable, you get an attempt to Cubanize it, and that takes lots of different forms. There are certain, you know, there are some groups who have really worked to sample, you know, Cuban music in order to give it a kind of Cuban sound. There are other guys like Candyman or El Médico, both of them from Oriente, who I think draw on Oriente's sort of strong integration with that part of the Caribbean to give it their own style too. Well, you know, reggaeton is huge across the Spanish-speaking world, especially Latin America and the Caribbean. Of course, Puerto Rico in many ways still seen as its center, certainly for the Caribbean. You know, what are now tantamount to pop stars, you know, Wisin and Yandel, Joel and Randy, these guys who, you know, they're on the pop charts there, and what they're doing is very integrated into the industry there.
Bubloy, no habla mucho.
What's interesting about the dembow is that it later reappeared in the last couple of years in the Dominican Republic in a style of music known as Dominican dembow. So here is Jamaica conquering yet another country, which is the Dominican Republic. Reggaeton has been popular, you know, since its rise in the Dominican Republic, but it actually was outlawed from being played on the radio because of suggestive lyrics and so forth, and, you know, and many cried censorship about this. But on the street level, is always popular, continues to be. But a new style has risen up called Dominican dembow, which goes back to the old school sound, the more sample based sound, before things got this sort of glossy production value that happened in the kind of reggaeton's glorious years, and went back to that same Chacabinas and Pliers rhythm, the bam bam rhythm, the three guitar hit, and just these songs completely composed of this same totally old sample, and the bed up dembow beat, and this sort of like new kind of humorous lyrics that are put over it. And so it's, you know, it's Jamaican music kind of striking again years later.
Hello and welcome from an autumnal London. Yes, How Jamaica is back. After 18 months of silence and other podcasts, the fabled reggaeton show has been completed. For lots of reasons, this is a special show for me. Firstly, reggaeton is a topic I knew next to nothing about before embarking on this series. And secondly, I love the knowledge that Wayne and Marlon bring, and having them on the show makes it feel like a How Jamaica podcast. If you want to see what I've been up to in the absence of How Jamaica shows, you can search for 1001 Conversations, 10 American Presidents, Mid-Atlantic, or Dumdy Dum, all podcasts that are produced on a variety of different topics. Now the belts and braces stuff. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm at Royfields, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D, or you can follow me where I'm also How Jamaica. There is a Facebook group, so you can search for How Jamaica Conquered the World on the Book of Face. You can also donate to the project, and a few people have, so thank you for that, via the website, which is howjamaicaconqueredtheworld.com. Or you can email me at royfield@gmail.com if you'd like to tell me what you think about the show. See you all again soon.
El alfa en la casa, con la voz gruesa, la pongo fina, dame luz, como yo me muevo, no se mueve nadie.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.